Today, my dear faithful, is the fourth Sunday of Lent. It is also Laetare Sunday. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians, the fourth chapter. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are said by an allegory. For these are the two testaments, the one for Mount Sinai, engendering unto bondage, which is Agar. For Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which hath affinity to that Jerusalem which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born according to the flesh persecuted him that was after the Spirit, so also it is now. But what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free, by the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. John, the sixth chapter. At that time, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus therefore went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Pasch, the festival day of the Jews, was near at hand. When Jesus therefore had lifted up his eyes, and seen that a very great multitude cometh to him, he said to Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, saith to him, There is a boy here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? Then Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were sat down, in like manner also of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, lest they be lost. They gathered up, therefore, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above to them that had eaten. Now those men, when they had seen what a miracle Jesus had done, said, This is of a truth the prophet that is come into the world. Jesus, therefore, when he knew that they would come to take him by force and make him king, fled again into the mountain himself alone. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. He glorified him in the sight of kings, and gave him commandments in the sight of his people, and showed him his glory. Words taken from the Epistle of the Feast of St. Joseph. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the 17th century, my dear faithful, a certain religious sister received a vision of the triumphant ascension of our Lord into heaven, and along with him, his whole heavenly court. Leading this long line of saints was St. John the Baptist, carrying a white banner. Blazoned across this banner were the Baptist's famous words, Ecce agnus Dei, ecce qui tollit peccata mundi, which in English means, Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who taketh away the sins of the world. After St. John the Baptist followed a procession of all the souls that our Lord had redeemed. In the midst of them was Jesus Christ, the King of Glory himself. Our Lord, with the saints following, ascended through the air to the eternal gates. At the entrance of heaven stood St. Joseph. He joined the procession into paradise, taking his place beside his foster son, the God-man. This great line of blessed souls climbed through the air unto the throne of the Holy Trinity. Our Lord then stepped out and took his rightful seat upon the throne at the right hand of his eternal Father. Then all was silence, until one voice arose, the voice of Saint Joseph. He stood before the throne of the Most High God and addressed himself to the Eternal Father. "This talent," Saint Joseph said, referring to our Lord, "has profited so much that not only do I return it to you doubled, but you see this multitude that he has acquired. I return all to you and offer it to you." The Eternal Father looked upon this vast harvest of souls and answered, "Faithful servant, since you were the steward of my house on earth, I give you command here and all power." In just a few days, my dear faithful, this Friday, in fact, we will celebrate the feast of Saint Joseph. This religious sister's glorious vision demonstrates the awesome dignity and power of this humble carpenter. Saint Joseph was, and indeed is, as God the Father said in the story, the faithful servant of God. He was given one of the most important tasks ever given to any man, the office of foster father of the Christ child, spouse of the Mother of God, and head of the Holy Family. This is the talent or work that Saint Joseph had to carry out in life, to care and provide for the Christ child, to teach him and to nurture him. When Saint Joseph went to work every day, it was literally to provide food, clothing, and shelter for God himself. When our Lord grew older, he then began to work with his foster father. Each day, Saint Joseph would say it was time for work, and the God-man obeyed and went about his task. God carried wood. God worked the saw and the chisel. God swept and bent to the ground to pick up piles of sawdust, all at the order of his foster father, a mere man, a humble carpenter. Then, too, it was Saint Joseph, along with Our Lady, who taught Christ, both by word and example, the manly virtues of fortitude, of patience, and above all, of kindness. Saint Joseph raised Jesus Christ and was one of the instruments that God chose to provide the Savior and Redeemer for all mankind. Of course, our Lord was, is, and always will be God. He had perfect virtue from the first moment of his existence. And yet, he humbled himself to be taught, to follow the way of the ordinary man. And it was Saint Joseph that he chose as his teacher. And he was a perfect teacher, my dear faithful. So perfectly did he raise our Lord that God has given his foster father a supreme reward in heaven. God glorified him in the sight of kings and in the sight of his peoples. as the epistle for the Mass of St. Joseph tells us. All power in heaven and earth is given to this humble carpenter of Nazareth. The foster father of Christ can still command his divine Son, for our Lord still submits himself with filial obedience to St. Joseph. St. Joseph then wields an awesome power, the power of the Most High. Whatever St. Joseph asks of God, it is granted. This is very important and consoling for us, for just as St. Joseph was the guardian of the Holy Family, so now he is the guardian over the entire Church. Just as this great saint had the power to command Christ as his Son on earth, so now he has power to command him in heaven. That is why Pope Pius IX declared him the patron of the universal Church. And that makes St. Joseph a most powerful patron for all Christians. It is his office and his desire to guard souls and help them to salvation. He loves every Christian as his own child and has a special solicitude for the welfare of each one, especially their spiritual well-being. He looks after them with all the care and solicitude with which he watched over the Christ child on earth. What makes St. Joseph, though, even more appealing as a patron is that despite his awesome office as the guardian of the God-man, St. Joseph led such an ordinary life. He was a carpenter, constantly at work, and constantly carrying the cross of daily duties. He was a common man, with all the trials and crosses that every man faces. He was not famous. He was not known for his holiness. He was just the local carpenter. He knew poverty, not only because he chose it, but because that was his lot in life. He struggled to provide for his family. He had to figure out finances like any other. Of course, St. Joseph carried this cross perfectly and resigned himself to the will of God. But that does not mean he did not have to struggle like everyone else, like you and like me. Now, St. Joseph did have God with him, right there beside him. But God was there to be protected and provided for. Are we not like St. Joseph in this way as well? God dwells in each soul that has sanctifying grace, and it is our mission to guard this life of sanctifying grace in each of us. There are demons seeking to destroy this grace in us through temptations to commit sin. In this struggle for salvation, then, I encourage you, my dear faithful, to have devotion to St. Joseph. Because who better to teach you than St. Joseph himself, the teacher of the God-man? Take this great saint as the guardian of your soul. Ask him to teach you the virtue you need. He knows what it is like to struggle, to face difficulty on all sides, and yet he always overcame them. Pray for him to help you carry your cross, to be your consolation during sorrow, and your defense in temptation. Have confidence in his protection and intercession. Each day, my dear faithful, do not forget to pray to St. Joseph, our foster father, our patron, and our guardian. Look to Saint Joseph as a foster father for your soul, and he will take you under his charge, and please God, lead you to the glories of heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.